KUCI. It
makes me wanna.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I am your host, Ryan Foland, and we are here to translate the social media world so that it makes sense. If you love social media, we'll help you get better at it. If you hate social media, we might make you love it. And if you're totally confused about social media, we will help you understand it. If you didn't catch our show yesterday, you missed out. It was with Ash Kumra and Christopher Kai, and we talked about all kinds of cool stuff. Today, we have a very special guest. We will be talking with Seri Gabe. She is the CEO and creative director of U2R1 Media. It is an awesome creative agency, and they are helping to promote a massive conference that's going on in Los Angeles today. It is called the Ideas Los Angeles, and yours truly, I'm going to be a host there. So after this radio show, I'm heading up, and I thought, what a great opportunity to talk with Seri about what they've done as far as social media goes to help promote, advertise, drive people to the event. I believe they're just about sold out. I was talking with her earlier in the day, and tickets are just bing, 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 bing. People are gobbling them up. And the thing is, we all have events that we want people to go to. Whether you're a student and you're organizing an event, whether you're a startup and you want to host a party, whether you're throwing a birthday party or you just did a graduation party, we want to help you understand how social media can drive traffic. Because it's difficult getting an audience to come show up. I mean, we live in this crazy world where it's hard to get people out of their chairs. So this radio show is to help you understand more about social media. As a loose topic, we will be interviewing influencers, talking with faculty at UCI, students at UCI, staff at UCI, social media professionals, creative agencies, all kinds of things to help you understand the social media world. Now, I'm a big online and offline fan, so we'll be talking about not just social media, but real interactions with people as well. If you're not following the social media for KUCI, I suggest you jump online and do that right now. You can find them on Twitter at KUCIFM, on Instagram at KUCIFM, and on Facebook, search KUCI. I am pumped. Let's get our first and only guest today on the phone. Seri, hello, are you there?
Hi, Ryan.
Well, hello, Seri. It is such a pleasure to have you here as our guest today. Thank you so much. Let's get started. You've got your company, U2R1 Media. Tell us a little bit more about it, how it started, a little bit of history.
I've had this company for over 13 years. I started off as a designer, graphic designer, web designer back in the day, and freelanced and built this company. Started in Canada, moved it to the U.S., and we focus on branding, digital strategies, content creation, creative video, pretty much anything a business needs to communicate themselves to the public and generate ROI through their marketing and visual strategies. And we have clients all over North America and even international. And it's really exciting and fun. I love doing it. Keeps me on my toes. I love being creative. It's just my nature to strategize, to be problem solving, constantly solving and helping entrepreneurs and coming up with cool ways to make them stand out so that people notice them, which is really important.
And how much would you say you leverage social media as part of this digital strategy you help people out with?
That's a big focus of ours. There's so many different ways to do marketing. You know, you can focus on drip campaigns, you can focus on guerrilla marketing, you can focus on old school mailers, you know, but digital media for us has been something that has always interested us. So that's a heavy focus on our strategies. Of course, it depends on each client. Each individual client has different goals and they have different audiences. So, but most of our marketing is geared towards digital.
Now, one event that we want to talk about today and maybe the use of it is this Ideas Los Angeles. Tell me about that, because I will actually be there. The show is going to be happening for 2 days starting today. So when I leave the show here, I'm going to be headed up north, really excited to MC one of the stages. But yeah, Talk to us about the event. We were here on the phone beforehand. You all these little noises kept going off in the background. You said people keep signing up. They're just, it's happening. So yeah, Tell us about the show. I'm going to let you talk about it because I'm excited and I'll just talk all day about it.
Yeah, it's so exciting. We're in our second year and it's hosted by Tel Aviv University. And pretty much the concept started with David Dorfman, who's the lead on this. And he's just so brilliant and such a great guy to work with. And he brought us on to brand and market the conference. And the conference is really bridging innovators and creators and inventors and people who have brilliant ideas from, you know, the tech industry and the health industry. And it just focuses on digital technology, but in different sectors. And we're bringing people from Tel Aviv, from Silicon Valley, from Los Angeles, and we're creating a hub for them to connect, to network, to share ideas, to learn. And the difference here is like the content is so unique and it's so interesting. And he really takes the time to curate amazing speakers. He's very selective of who comes to the event. And he wants to bring value to the audience and really good opportunities for people to network and make connections and possibly get investments. There's a whole startup aspect to it, which is amazing. We have these startup delegates who are going to be pitching and presenting their product or their service. And they're actually very successful already. And it's just a great vibe. And there's going to be a rock concert, which, I mean, come on, and a DJ. And it's just like totally awesome. The whole thing is going to be incredible. Last year was really great. We sold out. And this year we're just almost sold out now. I don't even know how we're still selling tickets because I think we're pretty much done. But yeah.
Now, from a social media standpoint, I'm a big fan of online and offline. And it's so great to see an actual offline event that's happening when you're talking about connecting people and listening to physically live, a live audience. But you guys have done a lot on the digital splash thing. And that's what's amazing about social media. And again, our goal here at the show is to help translate, right? Because some people are hearing some of the stuff you're saying and going, huh? Some of them are like, yeah. And some of them are going, I still am confused. So when you're talking about a show like this, what are some of the things that you're doing to help sort of promote this? Because so many people, whether it's a radio show or a physical event or something that's going on at UCI, you know, it seems like promotion is a huge part of that. It seems like you guys have been successful. You're almost sold out. What are some of the things that, you know, we can do as individuals to promote our events? Or what are some of the things that you do that you find successful for getting the word out? Because it seems like there's so much noise. How do you even get started? Because it's intimidating sometimes.
I think that there's so many facets to answering that question. So I'll speak specifically to how we focused on ideas, because it might be different for other people. But, you know, for the most part, it's consistent. One of the things that we've done is provide value to industry leaders and partner with industry leaders who have a great audience, and their audience would benefit from this conference. And by doing that, you know, we can all collaborate and share that information. And then they, you know, share on their social media, we share on our social media. And it's just such a great movement because everybody starts talking online. Partnering with people and companies and organizations that have good audiences that you also bring value to is, I would say, the number one thing.
Okay,
the number two thing.
So let's this is great. Let's recap on that for a second, because it's a really good point. A lot of times we're trying to find our own audience, but what you're saying is leverage partnerships with people that already have audiences that are going to benefit from your event. So you're essentially sparking those conversations. For ideas, you're looking at people that are into entrepreneurship and people that are into health and some of these other community maybe organizations. And when you say partner, what does that mean? Does that mean you say, hey, we'll give you representation at the event, or we just think that you guys and your audience would like this? What are some of the tactics? Because I love that as a strategy, partnering, right? You just don't go out there and try to create an audience, but leverage an existing
other
audience.
People's audience. I mean, it takes so much time to create your own audience. And obviously, we want to give value to people. It's not just about asking, can you help us? But it's providing value in a sense of either recognition at the event, giving them a workshop, giving them a panel. You know, we're very open and flexible with how they want to present their brand and how they want to represent themselves to their audience. And then it's a matter of, okay, what can you provide us to help spread the word to your audience, which will benefit from our content and their and the experience overall? And whether it's, you know, email newsletter blasts, it's sharing information on social media. We give out special codes to these partnerships so that their audience can get discounts off tickets and they can get special pricing, which also makes our partners look good to their audience. And I want to stress a lot that it all comes down to value. You can't just start reaching out to people and saying, hey, can you market to your list or can you market to your people for us? You know, it's not going to work like that. This is a collaboration. The whole goal with ideas is David's been really good at bringing people onto the planning committee and great people onto the advisory board and getting people involved. So they feel like it's their event too. It's their conference too. It's not just something that they're promoting. So they have an integral piece in it, where they've shared ideas, they've shared their thoughts, they've participated. So it becomes a collaboration rather than just, can you help us promote?
Yeah,
it
almost made me think of The Boy Who Cried Wolf, right? When you're sitting there talking, there are so many people that abuse their audience to just say, follow this or like this or go to this event or do this. And you can only do that so many times until people kind of get sick of it. So I like what you're talking about, building this relationship, finding partners, getting them involved at the event, and you're really asking them, you know, how can this event shine a nice light on you or, you know, your
brand?
So whether you're a student that's trying to organize a rally or whether you're a startup that's trying to get a Kickstarter launch or campaign, it sounds like it doesn't start just a week before the event. It's about really identifying who that target audience is. And I'm assuming you guys go back quite a while before the show date and find those. Would you call them enthusiasts or partners or?
Yeah, industry influencers, I feel. You know, people who are leading in specific areas like entrepreneurship or startups or in the specific industries that we target, whether it's tech or health, in the digital space. And there's a lot of, you know, organizations out there. I mean, second year has been a little bit easier, but first year was challenging because, you know, you're launching a brand that nobody knows about at all. This is a first time conference and it's hard to get people to show up to anywhere, you know, because people are so used to, and especially to in advance to buy a ticket. That's, you know,
right,
that's
right.
No easy feat.
We are trained to just be able to sort of show up or not show up. And there seems to be lack of that, that initiative.
Commitment.
Really. Okay, yeah. So step one, you're creating partnerships before you really even start. What would the second step be in this process?
The second step is to understand which social platform really works for you and how to use the social platform to its best ability. When it comes to ideas, Facebook was best used as digital ads leading people to the website. So we're constantly just showing people, here we are, this is the event. Check us out online, not so much trying to promote our own personal page. There's a lot of, I'm not a big fan of Facebook business pages, and it could be a whole discussion on its own, but for the most part, I feel like you don't get to activate your entire audience unless you spend a lot of money, and then you have to spend more money to get a new audience. So I think the best way that we found Facebook worked is to actually bring an audience from Facebook to our website, and then people who found it interesting would sign up to our newsletter, and that's how we captured them.
Well, let's time out real quick on this, because this is interesting. Yeah. Many people probably don't even know the difference between a Facebook business page and a regular page. So if you had to explain to your grandma the difference between the two, how would we determine the difference between your business page and a Facebook page? Because sometimes when you're on the, you know, the user end, you don't necessarily notice a difference. Some of them you can like, some of you can't. What's a real high level breakdown that creates this basic idea of business? And then you said we'd have to spend a bunch of money. I know there's a lot of personal Facebook users that don't realize how much money is spent on Facebook for advertising.
Yeah.
You're talking about driving Facebook traffic to your website. And how would you do that on a business page versus, I'm assuming you're doing this just through personal accounts, or how does that work?
No, you can actually use, I mean, through Facebook ads, it's a whole different business section of Facebook where you actually create ads through your Facebook page. So it would, the ad would present itself through Ideas Los Angeles, for instance, and the content would come from Ideas Los Angeles, and there's no personal behind it. It's completely business, or in our case, the event.
And those show up as native ads, which means like in somebody's feed, right? So when you see
feed,
that little
yeah.
thing that says promoted, that's
or
somebody
sponsored, yeah.
or sponsored paying for that to show up on your feed. And typically, as the advertiser, you have a chance to choose those demographics, correct?
Yes, you can choose your demographics. And then people can comment and like the ad. So it's also not just getting people to your website, but they can engage with your ad as well, which adds another level of interaction and brand recognition, right?
Could
so there's multiple ways.
Could be somewhat organic. If somebody likes that promoted
and shares
ad,
it.
They could
yeah.
share it and they see the interaction going on. Okay.
So exactly.
Facebook from a platform, and I really like this concept because sometimes people just think more is better when it comes to social media. And what you're mm-hmm. saying is it's not. It's about
no.
the right type of messaging on the right type of platform. So Facebook, you're driving traffic to your website to get them to a newsletter or something else.
Correct.
What are some of the other platforms?
So Twitter has been a great platform for us.
And real quick, for those yeah. who don't know Twitter, if you were to explain to your grandma, what is your definition of Twitter?
Twitter is your it's your micro news feed. It's like it's the platform that you get your snippets of what's trending. I want to say trending, but I don't know if my grandmother would understand trending. So what's breaking news? And whoever is tweeting out there thinks that it's breaking news for them. You know, it might not be the most breaking news. Somebody's sharing something about their cat, but for them, it's breaking news in their life. But it's a platform where you get snippets of what people find they want to talk about in mini conversations, in my opinion. So in 140 characters?
140, yeah. Before, your actual URL link or the link to an outside web page used to count against you. And as yeah. of about 2 weeks ago, now you have 140 characters. Now, that's not 140 words. It's
yes.
literally each yeah. space or letter is a character. It's kind of like a
yeah.
it's kind of like the art of the haiku, really.
Yeah, you got to get creative sometimes when you're writing something.
I think of it like a crossword puzzle almost, or you know, one of those. You literally, in it, for those of you who haven't tweeted, it has a countdown, like 140, and you press I, and then it goes to 139, and so it's this little
yeah.
game. So you try to find abbreviations. Thanks becomes THX. With becomes
exactly.
W with a forward slash. So yeah. You're
it's
saying,
the platform that killed the English language.
That's grandma. Twitter is the platform
yeah.
that killed the English language. I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So you guys are tweeting out into the world. So you have this breaking news feed that you're sharing with people, and you can engage in conversations around other topics as well. What was the
yes.
main focus you had for your Twitter strategy?
I mean, it depends on which time of where we are and sort of the timeline of our communication. Let's say we start our kind of engagement in January and the events in June, right? From January to about April, we're mostly sharing content relevant to our events. So things on what's happening in the news with digital technology and health and lifestyle and media and entertainment and all that stuff. So we're just, a lot of that is sharing articles and engaging in past speakers. But as we get more speakers on board and sponsors on board, then our goal sort of in the second half is to engage with our speakers and our sponsors and help promote them and help talk about what they're saying and help promote their workshops or their panels or what they're talking about. And it's really to share that our own content. So what's happening at our events and getting our speakers involved and, you know, sharing their brands because they're a big part of this. We want to feature them.
with Twitter, there are handles. And handles are basically your, I guess you'd almost say it's like your identifier, right? Your the yeah. version of an email address or the version of your phone number, some way that people can find you. And you guys are on Twitter, and your handle is ideas_LA.
Correct.
So just for, again, for all those people that are either lost on social media or have not found themselves there, you have twitter.com. You sign up for an account, or you can actually just search. I believe you can search on Twitter if you're not logged in, correct?
Yes, you okay. can. Yes.
Everybody's handle would be essentially twitter.com/ their handle. So I'm twitter.com/ Ryan Folland. You guys are twitter.com/ideas_LA.
Correct.
You know, you guys have been real active. It's fun because in Twitter, you can actually mention people in your tweet by using mm-hmm. the handle. And then what that does, it sends a notification to those people. And it's almost like a communication on a large scale, because everybody sees that conversation, and everybody, as you were saying before, people start talking about it. So it sounds like after you've partnered with the right crew and you know who to leverage from their audience standpoint, you're using the different platforms for different types of communication. We talked about Facebook drove directly to your website. Twitter, you had sort of this exposure months and months before, highlighting what happened last year. And as it gets closer and closer to the date, it's a matter of the new speakers that are coming on, highlighting what's happening. I'm even seeing, you know, pictures of things as they're being built. Is Twitter really a behind the scenes as much as it is a breaking news?
It's both. Yeah, definitely. And it's just it's been one of our strongest platforms that we really enjoy, because it's a relevance platform, it's up to date. It is a media platform as well. A lot of press is on there, a lot of media, what's new, what's happening, what's current. Where Facebook, you don't get as much visibility that way. You have to actually pay for your visibility. And Twitter, if enough people are talking to you and engaging with you, you shouldn't have to pay. You can do Twitter ads. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. We didn't. We have enough people involved in our conference that help us get the word out and communicate, and we're engaging with, so we didn't really focus on paid ads on Twitter.
Now, that's an interesting point to bring up, because a lot of times the public doesn't realize that people are paying for their eyeballs. And there's so much content going into Facebook that you physically cannot see everything that is going on. And so they have been perfecting their algorithm, and an algorithm is just a fancy word for a filtering system, right? With all of your friends and all of their content, Facebook filters a lot of that. So you are just seeing a hand selected by this filter of the content, and there's really no room for advertisements in there. You have to pay to play, essentially, to get in front of that audience.
That's right.
But Twitter, you're saying, is a more open platform, and you can have more direct contact with people. There's still a lot of noise, but for a lower cost, you can engage people relatively easier on Twitter.
Well, I always say Twitter is more labor.
Okay.
You're paying for labor.
Okay.
And Facebook is more ads. So you're paying for more ads. I mean, again, you can pay for Twitter ads. We haven't had to really focus on that. And I'm sure there's a lot of companies who do and do really well on it. But specifically for ideas, it's just been time. Spending the time and really engaging and having conversations, and not just pre-scheduling tweets and letting it go, because that's not the best way to use Twitter. It's time versus money on different platforms.
I like that. We'll cover the top three platforms. So you talked about Facebook driving to your website. Twitter mm-hmm. is really just driving engagement and awareness. Do you have any call to actions with that? Are you still trying to direct them?
Yes, we're still giving out promo codes. We're still driving people to the website 100%. It's all part of that as well. And our partners are doing the same. So they're putting their promo codes out there to their audience and their speakers as well. And they're encouraging people to sign up and listen to their talk and be involved. So there definitely is a lot of call to action.
Gotcha. So what's the third platform that maybe has been the most successful for you in the advertisement of this Ideas Los Angeles?
We use Instagram. I don't know how successful it's been. It's just sort of something that we used as an added bonus because we got a lot of pictures from last year. We didn't use it in our first year that much, but because we had, it's such a picture image heavy. It's image driven, obviously. So this year we had definitely more images that we used. We created our own graphics. It's a different demographic on Instagram. We've been slowly getting some following, things like that. But I would say that it's not our home run marketing, but it's a presence and fun. It's good to tag speakers in there again, and it's good to just raise awareness. But I would say more so newsletters would be one of our main marketing strategies is leveraging our newsletter.
And so you're emailing that to an existing database of people that you've either gathered or that sign up to get news from the organization.
Exactly.
I think the newsletter is undervalued. I do think that it is huge, but the problem with it, you got to have those emails, right?
Yeah, and we are lucky to have, you know, because initially we started this out, our big focus is to engage our alumni from Tel Aviv University. So we've had a big list of our alumni, and then that list grew to past attendees and speakers and stuff and continual people signing up to our newsletter who just want information. So it's constantly an evolving database.
You've got the partnerships, you leverage the platforms. Is there a step three to this, or is it just you're driving everybody to the certain call to action? And that's what I've noticed. Each one of these strategies you have points back to one thing. It sounds like it's the website. It's that single call to action. From a note to the listeners out there, everything you do should drive to that one spot, right? Because if you get too fragmented, you're going to lose people's awareness, and it's just about driving it to one spot. You've got the partnerships, you're leveraging the platforms to get to a certain point. What else is in that equation?
We also, I mean, part of the partnerships is also outreach to organizations, specifically in this case, Israeli organizations, because we are, you know, Tel Aviv University is in Israel, and, you know, that's one of our primary focuses. So not only like reaching out to digital technology entrepreneur startups, but we reached out and partnered with a lot of the Israeli organizations in here in Los Angeles, and they've been a big help in cross-promoting us and partnering with us on that level. Of course, because we're a nonprofit, there's so much we could do, but our budget is limited in terms of advertisement, so it would be nice if we could do, you know, some guerrilla marketing, some billboard ads, some flags around the city of Santa Monica, but we're not there yet. We're amping up to it. So right now we have to depend on people who feel passionate about this conference and who want to spread the word and want to be involved. And we've been beneficial and to have those people and those organizations who want to do that. So it's been great.
Awesome. So I want to segue into talking about the day of the event today and tomorrow and how people can get engaged, because a big passion I have for social media is the fact that you can be anywhere and experience anything. And I'll be up on stage, and one of the things that I love to do is help create that social engagement. We've mentioned the word hashtag a couple times. I want to take a time out and see if we can explain to Grandma what a hashtag is. What is a hashtag in Grandma terms?
Yeah. So if you look at your rotary phone,
oh, okay.
You see that pound sign. So imagine, you know, you have that one word that you want to just focus on when you're talking to your friends or whatever, and you're talking about a certain topic. And so it would be that hashtag and that certain topic. So I don't know if you're talking about bagels or lunch or brunch, you'd be hashtag brunch because you're sitting at brunch now talking to your friends, you know. Hashtag hairdresser. I think about my grandmother getting her hair done a lot. Hashtag hairdresser. Things like that's how I would explain it to her. It's like, what's the highlight of what you're talking about? And what's that really one word that would be your sort of focus?
And then that one word, then other people can search for on the different platforms and see the relevant, immediate, real-time or history of that actual word.
Correct.
What is the Ideas Los Angeles hashtag for the event?
We have two hashtags. Our focus is Ideas LA. That's the main hashtag. And then the second one is Leadership. We call it the Leadership Conference.
I like that word.
Thank you. That's, you know, the marketing.
There you go. So,
there you go.
Good marketing team there. So Leadership. You made up your own word. You don't have to have real words. You can just make something up?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Most people do. I mean, God knows, Donald Trump probably has a million hashtags that are made up.
Right. So it's a searchable term that starts with the hashtag, can be used on the different platforms. Today, if people want to see what's going on with the show, they can literally go to Twitter or go to Facebook or Instagram and just type in the search hashtag IdeasLA or hashtag LeaderShift, and it should come up with what's happening, correct?
Yeah, and I want to kind of give you sort of an idea of why you want to use both. The good thing about having, I mean, IdeasLA is our brand, and that's what we want to get out there. You want to have a hashtag that is searched not too often, where you're going to be lost in a clutter of other searches, like
hashtag share or hashtag love.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. You want to have something a little bit more unique, but enough shares that people would actually search for. On the other hand, if you have your own custom hashtag that isn't searched a lot, you can create a trending hashtag based on that, and that will be relevant to you. Now, that takes a lot of time and effort and thousands of people using it, et cetera, but eventually, you know, if you're working hard enough, you can get it trended. So there's benefits to having your own hashtag, and there's drawbacks to having your own hashtag as well as having a known and a not known. You kind of want to do your research, and it's not just throwing out. You want to think about what you want your hashtags to be. There's actually a thought and strategy behind it.
Yeah, because if you have hashtag, say, the hashtag I use is hashtag GingerMC. So I'll be sharing with people, take a picture of me or tweet me at use hashtag GingerMC. And I like to mention that, you know, ginger jokes are cool, but no cyberbullying. Okay. So you just don't want to get your hashtag hijacked or have somebody else using it. Like, I don't see anybody else using or having the need for hashtag GingerMC, but something like Ideas, that could be tricky. But so you've got the IdeasLA and you kind of niched into that spot.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I like GingerMC. It's very branded. I like it.
It is. And I actually ran a contest at the last OC Tech Happy Hour, which I'm an organizer of. It's a fun event once a month. And I said, anybody who takes a picture of me and uses hashtag GingerMC gets entered to win free tickets to the Ideas Fest. And that was fun.
I saw that.
Created some engagement.
That was great.
And we've got three more people coming. I don't know if we can handle them, but it's good.
I saw that. I really liked that. Me and David were like, oh, that was so cool. We
getting a chuckle
that.
Out of that?
That
yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that was nice.
So at the event, for people that are putting on their own events, what do they need to do to increase the chances of social engagement? Because sometimes, you know, you get to a music festival or you get to an event and you kind of like forget about your phone and you're into the event. So what are some of these things that you're doing? Are you doing billboards? Are you doing it on the cards? Are you doing it announcements? I mean, I know my stage is going to be going off because I have this thing called the Social Media Minute, where I literally stop the show and I encourage everybody to get their phones out and I challenge them to tweet or Facebook or Instagram or like or retweet something that they've heard, something that they like. And it just happens all at once, and it's like a big boom. But sometimes I feel that if you're in the audience, you don't want to take out your phone because somebody will look at you like you're rude. So
rude, yeah.
From an event standpoint, you've got this online component that you want, but you have this offline, which is kind of like you want people to focus on the prize. How do you guys deal with that from an organizing and from a marketing standpoint? I think that's an interesting dilemma.
We have a live selfie mirror. And it's going to go straight to social media. So you actually...
A selfie mirror? Like an actual mirror?
Stand-up mirror, yes. So it's going to be really cool. And last year we had something similar, but it was just this little box and you can take your picture and then draw all over it. We used a lot of those pictures afterward. The cool thing in the selfie mirror, you can look at yourself in the mirror, make sure you're looking all dapper, and then you take your picture and you share it on social and, you know, it has a hashtag. It's and embedded in it, you can write your own content. Because of all those things that you said, the best way to do that is to have a dedicated space like that for specifically social media. So people can engage in social, but they don't also have to take away from paying attention to what the talk that they're listening to or being in the workshop and stuff like that.
So social media lounge, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or an activated, a brand activated something, you know, so in our case it was a mirror, it's a mirror, but there's definitely a lot of different things that you can do to activate it and be engaged.
Now, are you going to be like in a back closet hiding out with like blue lights on, just like attacking and tweeting everything and liking everything? Like, tell me about like the drama and the chaos and the brain damage labor of what's going to be happening for you today and tomorrow. Do you have a whole team that comes in? Is it just crazy? What happens?
Yeah, so we definitely have a team, and we'll have somebody completely dedicated to Twitter on the day. It won't be me, because I will have
smart, I like it.
Things to do, like making sure everything's running smoothly. I'm going to be on my own panel, presenting the awards for the startups. So I'll be busy doing other things and taking the speakers to the stage. But the one thing that we are making sure of is someone is dedicated to Twitter. That will be their job for the day.
So people who want to follow what's going on or what's happened, if they can't make it, they would go on Twitter and search either hashtag IdeasLA, hashtag Leadershift, or hashtag SelfieMirror.
Yeah. I don't know if hashtag SelfieMirror will go, but either the other two will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is It'll exciting. And I'm excited to head up there. Maybe not so excited for the drive, but I'm always excited to get to LA once I'm there.
Yes.
But no, I'm pumped up to be on stage, and I think we've got like 70 speakers. You say there's this startup element. One of the things that's really cool is on the stage that I'm at, we've got these different tracks of startups, and they do a 60-second pitch, then a 60-second explanation of what they need help with, and then we're going to work with the audience for 5 minutes to come up with a solution right there. Like, pretty cool. So it's not just...
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's going to be awesome.
And we're thinking about creating an actual open mic opportunity for anybody that's in the audience after the scheduled startups for them to come up as well. There's going to be a lot of startups here. It's about giving them the stage too. I think that's pretty exciting. We ran that by David a few minutes ago and he's like, oh, okay, let's do it. You get Brian McMahon and I on the stage. It's the Brian and Ryan show. You don't know what's going to happen.
I know. I'm definitely going to show up for that.
Well, very cool. I appreciate the insight. And for all of our listeners, I think they have a little bit more information on maybe how to approach an event. And I want to encourage anybody, whether it's, like I said, something that a student's organizing for their group or something that is your business that you're trying to organize. Basically, you're saying start off with who you can partner with. And that's a partnership with somebody who already has an audience that would be interested in your event, and they might have some sort of interest in being associated with your event, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then we're
looking... What's the value add?
What is the value add, not only for the company, but for the company's following or
audience,
fans? Because there's this trust issue, right? The audience of your potential partner trusts that it's going to be something that they want of high value, so that companies almost curating those relationships. So it's not a will you please blast out this Evite or this Eventbrite link or this Facebook event page, just share it. There's going to be no engagement. If you get a partner, and you know, for students out there, there's tons of companies that want to be exposed to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for startups, there's lots of third-party vendors, or there's lots of people that share your own audience. So build a partnership first. Then two, don't just do the shotgun approach, essentially, on your social media. Pick and choose the media that works for you. Like for you, Instagram didn't work as much, so you haven't been focused on it, but you're still sort of there. So it's not an extreme, it's more of a line in the sand on a windy day near the shore.
Exactly.
And you're not just broadcasting one message, you're using different messaging, but you're broadcasting it all to call to action back to one spot. And for you, that's a website. For somebody else, it might be an Eventbrite or a Facebook page or something like that. So when somebody goes there, you know they've taken just a little bit of an initiative. Thirdly, within that component, you've got to be able to have some sort of a hashtag so people can clutter through the chaos. Because if I were to go to Twitter and be like, okay, what's going on? Like, Twitter's not going to tell me. I've got to go find it. So using hashtags, being creative with hashtags, and grandma, hashtag is the pound sign on the phone, but it's also a way to track people. So you want to go check out some photos of me, just hashtag GingerMC. It's got a nice rhyme to it. If you want to check out ideas, hashtag IdeasLA, hashtag LeaderShift, like leadership, but LeaderShift. And then the third component we talked about was kind of the day of, right? Essentially making sure things are running well, but almost having somebody dedicated, hopefully, ideally not yourself, right? Get somebody dedicated, not yourself, to run social media and maybe choose one platform. So for you guys, it's going to be Twitter, it sounds like.
It's going to be Twitter. We might, we'll probably do some Instagram. Facebook,
nah.
Not really. It's not really a
But I mean, Facebook isn't really that real time. It's more like a you'd do one post afterwards with a bunch of photos and people would like it and comment on it. But it's not that real time, you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. And I think Facebook would benefit more from people posting on their personal, you know, here's where I am, this is what I'm doing, check-in kind of thing. That's where Facebook would benefit us. But to post on our page, you know, we'll have a couple of posts, but our main focus is going to be Twitter, and then Instagram could be a fun one during the event as well. Twitter is going to be the high-level one.
Awesome. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot. I'm excited to see you later on today. I will probably be following the Ideas LA hashtag and adding on all kinds of stuff to it as well. So I'm pumped. You guys have been doing a lot of work. It's fun to see it yield the success that it has. I mean, you guys are almost sold out. There's all kinds of buzz about it. It's just great to see, you know, the organization, the school from across the U.S. come over here, and you guys are bringing all kinds of students and helping out all these entrepreneurs, and it's just really cool what you guys are doing. So the website, if people did want to check out, tell them about that and where do they go?
So the website is ideaslosangeles.com.
That's confusing. That's good.
And if you want to come by tomorrow, I don't know if you could buy tickets tomorrow, but
well, you know what?
Here in Santa Monica,
we've allowed them to follow online, and that's free for everyone.
Yes.
And for all of you who are out there on social media, remember, you should throw some love out to KUCI. If you don't, you should. It's at KUCI FM. You can go out there and ideas_LA can go follow at KUCI FM, and you guys can start to have a relationship as well.
Perfect.
All right. Well, hey, it has been a pleasure to have you on. Again, you are listening to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Thank you so much. Any parting words of advice for those people that love or hate social media?
Build a relationship with it, but keep it at arm's bay.
Very well said. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I'll see you later on today. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, Ryan. Thank you. Have a great one.
All right. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Well, there you have it. We had Sari, who was talking to us. She was the CEO and marketing director for a PR agency that has come in and really created a firestorm of activity for the Ideas Los Angeles. Wow. If you feel like me, that's a lot of information. But I want you to not get stressed out, because here at Get Notified, my goal is literally to help clear the fog when it comes to social media. And we're here in Southern California. There's often fog, and you might be one of those people that are just totally intimidated. So, couple of the key takeaways to think about from today's guest. First of all, it's not about building an audience. It's about leveraging an audience. And that's such a great point, because if you're trying to start out from nothing, it's very hard to build. But find those partners out there that have similar audiences and start to reach out to them. How do you reach out to them? You go find them, you follow them, you engage with them, you make comments on their content, and you start to build this relationship. We talked a little bit about hashtags, and hashtags is going to come up over and over again. It is probably the single most powerful tool when it comes to social media. And that's no joke, and that's a lot to say, but hashtag, it's the truth. Your homework, maybe, or maybe your fun work, because this shouldn't be stressful, but if you want to feel like you're getting a little bit better at social media, start playing with it, start engaging. And if you're not at the point where you feel comfortable posting, you should start searching. So there's a really good opportunity for you to use these hashtags. Hashtag IdeasLA, hashtag LeaderShift, hashtag GingerMC. See what comes up. You can even use hashtag KUCI to see what's trending and what people are talking about when it's coming to the radio here. I'm happy that you guys are with us today. This is our second show, and I am totally pumped up. We have some awesome guests coming up next week. I'm very excited. It's just kind of a bucket list come true, and I'm really excited to work out the kinks. I'm pumped on continuing to make mistakes so that I can learn from them, and I'm excited to continue to share with you guys what social media is all about, because you either love it, you hate it, you're confused by it, but you can't deny the fact that it's not going away. It is here to stay, and we want to empower you, because the more you understand it, the more comfortable you are with it, the more you can leverage it, or you can decide that you don't want anything to do with it. You can go back to an old flip phone and just live the good life, but you'll probably still see a hashtag on a freeway sign, and I want you to be empowered for you to know what that means. Again, this is Ryan Foland, DJ Ryan Foland. I gotta come up with a more creative DJ name. Maybe DJ Ginger MC, maybe MC Ginger. Who knows? We'll be letting people call in and tweet out some suggestions, and maybe we'll crowdsource what it should be for me. All right. Well, my background music has stopped. That should be my own cue to start getting off of the air. It's been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. You can find me, you can tweet me at Ryan Foland. I'm thinking about maybe just legally changing my name to at Ryan Foland. That'd just shorten up my conversations a lot. Every single day, I do an Instagram drawing. I love to draw stick figures, and so I'll come up with quotes that inspire me during the day, and I'll draw a stick figure on it. If you want to check that out, it's at Ryan.Foland. I wish I had the at Ryan Foland, but some other guy named Ryan Foland took it. Must be a nice guy, but he stole my handle. Again, I encourage you to show some love out there for KUCI. At KUCI FM, if you're not following them on Instagram or Twitter, you should. I'm excited to help create awareness of the show. Such awesome guests. Stick around for the next show. It's awesome. Everybody here is awesome. Hashtag awesome. Again, it's time for me to go. It's been a pleasure, and we're going to end here with some music, and we will just kind of rock out. You're listening to 88.9 KUCI, and that is here in Irvine. We're going to part with looks like a random CD I pulled from the wall. It is some goth industrial, and it is called Full Frequency. Here we go, guys. A little good, hard, goth, industrial's good for you. We'll see you next time. Next week, Tuesday and Wednesday here over the summer at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Your morning talk about social media. Hashtag see you later.